You guys, I sent you this by email, and did you guys get a chance to look at it or anything? Looks like he's got revenues up there. It's hard for me to see that, too.
Middle.
Jim, you get revenues up there, right?
What?
You get revenues up there right now.
Yes, sir. What do you want to know?
Well, back order.
We can talk there just a little bit. Go down to the bottom of that revenues page. And you guys know most of our revenues comes from sales tax. It's probably the second biggest income stream is the recorder's office and recorder's fees. Third biggest is collector's fees. And so you can kind of look at those if you want to. But last year we predicted $14,806,727.16. And this year I have...
You've budgeted...
I have right now $13,643,122.
8.5% decrease. Go ahead.
Well, keep in mind, too, that there's some of the things in there that you don't want to really include if you're trying to figure out your normal expenses, normal revenues, that we try to budget all of our federal grants, all of our grants in here, too. So a better picture of that, actually, if you go to the totals page, I try to divide those out on the totals page, and that's way on down there, Jim. And down here you see now, you'll see down there at the bottom, it says total revenues less grants and bonds. And last year, we had $14,252,727.16 right there. This year, it's down to 12. That's on over to the next one over there. $12,945,164.
Okay, is that what you say this year?
That's what I'm projecting. That's what I'm projecting.
Right.
Now, right now, those revenues are projecting pretty close to where we thought they would. We may be down a little bit, I guess. One of my first concerns, and probably you guys recognize this, and we are, if you look back at what we're paying out in expenses on TIFs, especially the Hills, we're going to pay out a lot more in TIF monies than what we predicted, which means our actual usable revenues is probably going to be down a little bit more than what we thought they might be this year.
Now, when you speak that way, if you're paying out more, then that means there's more money coming in, but we have to evaluate the cannibalism of what they're taking away from other business.
That's right.
Is anybody, so here are totals for, by expenses, right?
By different departments right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you, you want to stick with revenue conversations first?
If you want to start there,
let's start with there. So you're saying you're kind of projecting, looking at an 8.5% decrease based off of the Supreme Court ruling. That will be one thing with the Music City case. What other factors are in there?
Well, after talking with Bob Dixon, our second biggest income stream is the recorder's fees, and that's if you go back to that, it's 101-86003. You can see last year I projected $1 million, and I would guess that we will be close to that, but it kind of depends on what happens the rest of the year.
Right there, line item 46. For sure.
And this year I'm right only here. Projecting 900,000, down 100,000 there.
Okay. Let me hold up here. That, to me, is a real surprise and should be an indicator that we may be in the last few months, real estate has started moving, and you're talking about recorder fees, which I don't think that the timeshare business, which is the bulk of it, has recovered any ways near what, but to just be off 100,000 in that surprises me.
It may be more than that, Danny. 100,000 is what I'm projecting next year.
Yeah. Where are we sitting? Right, where are we tracking to right now? Do you know? I don't have that revenue tracking number.
That is the 599,752. You don't have that in there?
Oh, I do too. It's hidden. Sorry.
Okay. And that was, I think I ran this 8-3.
8-3 is what it said.
So that should have been about two-thirds of the year, and you can see that's pretty close to two-thirds.
So, yeah, we're tracking about a million then.
On that one, we're close.
Okay. But, I mean, I would think that...
But looking at what's happened since first of the year until through August, it looks like it'll be down 100,000.
What's our next largest revenue stream?
After that, collector's fees, I think.
So you're saying we're going to be increasing?
Hmm?
It's going to be an increase?
Yeah, I think that probably just underestimated years before. I kind of went off whatever number Sheila gave me before, but this year I just looked at where we were at and what had happened and looking at those things, knowing also that we have been pushed to raise some assessed evaluations.
Right.
I don't know, but I believe that those will be up a little bit. If you look back in...
Tell me where.
Well, on that same line, the 101.86, in 07, we actually had 08. Our totals in 08 were...
540.
And so I'm still under where we were in 08 at 520.
Rick, how much... what happens to all that money? Does it all go to the assessors?
No. That's money that comes in GCR.
GCR.
The collector's funds divides up several different ways. And by the way, I checked with other counties. We probably should have some sort of contract showing that we should get that money. I don't think there is one.
From the state? I mean,
from the cities?
We used to have one. I mean, I've got some information. Yeah. We used to have a contract with the incorporated areas that we're supposed to have that money. I mean,
of your first class counties do have one.
We used to have one years ago. The current collector just hasn't done that. I don't know. I haven't even had a chance to talk to her about it.
You're aware of it, so I've done my job.
Yeah, and Bob talked to me about it. Basically, we're supposed to have an agreement with the
City of Branson, City of Forsyth,
the incorporated areas of the county saying we're licensed to collect the fees, correct? That's basically what it is.
Collector and the clerk?
The collector.
Just the collector.
Collector, and the statutes say that it's approved by the commission, I believe. I tried to search that out a little bit, and I didn't get as far as I wanted to, so I just can't take more of that.
So, overall, you're saying, where's all the other money? Where are we down?
You can just go down through there line by line if you wanted to. It's small amounts in most places.
I'm just looking for anything under 91%. That's... Fuel sales is huge.
Let me explain why, Jim. The fuel sales, he's reported his fuel sales, his hangar rentals, he's reported all his revenues in one line before.
That's right.
And because I really would like to see how many hangar fees and what it is, and I think he's the same way, I've kind of divided those out. So if you look at it, put with the fuel sales, the hangar rentals,
right,
and it gets closer. Yeah. Although,
we're going to do fuel sales and
hangar rentals
and leases. No?
Leases, yes.
706.
It's still down.
It's still
substantial.
Well, it's down $70,000 from. Okay. So that's what those are. You just basically broke it apart, but we're still down. We know the revenues are down at the airport. Mm-hmm.
And, that's to be expected. I mean, that's got to be a luxury item for most people, I think, to be able to use this.
I'm going to bring that subject up in a second here, but I'll put the airport in there. We'll talk about that in a second. Okay. This is down. Well, we're not getting the federal prisoners that we used to get.
And I talked to Jimmy. He doesn't seem to think that we will get them.
No, the federal government changed the policy. I heard that we're not going to expect federal prisoners like we used to expect. Because they changed their policy, so.
Yep.
Because I heard we had 50 some people in the jail, and we don't have our capacities are nothing right now. We have one full pod shut down.
So I don't know. We have some capacity there to house prisoners, and I don't know whether there's any way we could find prisoners that we could house or anything like that. But that's a possibility.
What is boarding other entities here?
Well,
Is that the same thing? That's the reimbursements of prisoners?
If we board prisoners for Ozark County or Stone County or whatever, would they pay us on a daily basis like we do them?
That's $250,000 down right there that we're projecting. Mm-hmm. And we've got zero this year. And we budgeted $350,000.
They put them all in the same line this year.
We're down.
The line just above, you mean?
The 273,861 is a total of prisoner boarding reimbursement from the state and prisoner boarding reimbursement from other entities. Rather than separating it out, when the treasurer put those in, didn't get them separated out.
So it's closer to $150,000 less from 08, is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, you know, we budgeted $650,000 there, and this year I'm only budgeting $400,000, so $250,000.
I'm just trying to see some other big ones here. This one, that's nothing. I mean, that one, sorry. That one's nothing. That's really insignificant. 30% there. So, gosh, Rick, it just seems significant.
Yeah, when you look at it, you think that's way more than what you look and try to find it. But it's, you know, I checked the formulas, and I hope you check them too. I think they're right. So
that's significant.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about a bigger cut this year than we did last year. What are you estimating this? I mean, let me go back up here. The reduced sales collections from the Supreme Court, what are you thinking? Branson said $350,000. Is that what you're thinking?
I figure we're going to be flat or below on the regular sales tax, and then I have no idea how it's going to affect us. I talked to Lori Helling, told her to give me anything that she got from Branson. I know that they're looking into that. There's actually some people who think that will cause Branson's sales tax to go up. Now, I don't know how they're figuring that, but I've had people tell me, oh, they're going to have more sales.
Yeah,
I don't see how they would.
And she says at least $350,000 impact negative, if not closer to $500,000. It could be as much as a million as it would. So we're seeing, I guess from the overall commissioners, are you guys sensing a flat year again outside that whole Supreme Court thing? I mean, what do you think, Danny, Chuck?
That's my best guess.
Flat over this year. Yeah.
And that's so.
What do you think?
Your 6.8 is what we budgeted this year, and then I took $300,000 off for the
because of the Supreme Court thing rule.
What happened?
We'll be lucky if it is. I mean, not deficit. I mean, you're talking about. You said you're expecting flat from last year.
Flat from whatever our actuals are this year.
I think we'll do 6.8 this year.
Okay. You think so? So. Actuals, you're thinking is going to be.
I think we'll be six.
You think we'll
wrong, but that's my guess.
You think that we'll run flat.
And as we get closer, we may need to adjust that number. We'll have more information when you have to finalize this thing.
So going back to your TIF, if we're flat at 6.8, there's more of those sales are TIF sales, and that's why the TIF reimbursements are higher.
Right.
How much higher?
That's in expenses?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's in 114, Jim, I'm not positive. Yeah, 114. The Meadows TIF is actually tracking lower than what we anticipated. The Hills TIF is already over, and how much more, I don't know. The Hills is obviously, if I were in business in Branson, that's where I'd want to be, I think. The Landing is going to probably go over too, because you know you got to figure we're expecting the latter part of the year. Usually we get more sales tax in the last 3 months than we do the month during this, you know, spring and so on.
So you're saying we are actually at Meadows is way down, you're saying, which is, I mean, you look at the complex, it's way down.
But the next one, then you go on down to the Hills, and you can see.
We already exceeded that.
We've already exceeded, and we're going to exceed a lot more.
And the Landing's getting close compared to where it is year to date.
Right.
So we're seeing basically more businesses. The business down there is actually in those areas are growing, but we're seeing a decrease, or I don't know if a decrease, just, well, it's a decrease in the other areas. You know, when you look at it.
I wonder, I don't know that there's a thing we can do about that. I do know that...
Well, too late now, previous commissioners. Oh, more shopping.
I do know that I spend hours each month looking at that TIF bill, trying to figure out what is and what isn't. Without going over there, I pretty much have to kind of say, okay, yeah, that really is a business in the TIF. And then I'll get things like DOR is not helpful at all. They've got Best Buy reporting under two site locations. We all know that there's only one site location in Taney County, but they tell us that, oh yeah, that's both Taney County. And it's a big chunk of change.
Right.
So
to answer your question, Chuck, on the TIF?
Yeah, I was just curious.
It goes back to in the revenue side of it here. So
can you really use that though? I mean, because of the economy.
I don't know, the economy, it's not really economy. All you can say is there's more sales in the TIF area and less sales in the non-TIF area.
Right. But that's what I'm trying to say.
That's all you can say.
I'm trying to say that there's cannibalism there. But with the economic conditions like they are, is there?
Well, I mean, there's really no way to know that.
I mean,
if there's less buyers...
In my mind... There is cannibalism, but I can't prove that to anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
How can we
can't prove
it,
but it's a newer area. People like new. People are shopping at new. I mean, that's kind of goes without saying, and it's just going to continue to grow. So, I mean, I think you see that. I
don't know what their turnover ratio is for business.
The only thing that we can do is maybe get some newer things outside those tip areas that might help us.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying... This is the magic number we're saying, and we need to budget accordingly.
That's what I'm looking at. Let me now, and before we go any farther, I'll just tell you, there are a lot of different options that you have here. We do not have to, because we have a carry-forward balance, we know we will have, we do not have to match revenues to the expenses. We could say, guys, we know the economy is going to come back the year after, and if you guys feel comfortable with that, I'm going to back up 100%. We could budget to spend $1.5 million more than what we take in next year. We can do that because we have $1.5 million in the carry forward budget. Is that a wise thing to do? I don't know. You know, some people would say, oh, you can't do that. You spend more than you take in. You're just, it's a terrible thing. And then other people might say, that if you don't spend that money, you're killing the economy.
Right.
You know, if we take $1.5 million out of Taney County's economy, we may hurt the economy.
Right.
They're right. They could be right.
But this exercise is to also for us to look for waste within the government, and this is a good time to do it. It's budget time, and say, do you need what you're asking for? I mean, that's what we're here to do, is also make sure that we're being as conservative as possible. So we all understood and good with this. Not saying we agree, but just understanding where we're at right now. Moving on?
Yep. Good for me.
Okay.
What do you want to go to next, Rick?
I want to look at the notes page, because I made notes that I want to ask you guys about, talk to you about, get your feelings about. And I think I got those all in here. If you didn't, I may have put some in mine that I don't have. I think they're all in there. We'll see. First off, up there at the top, budgeting. Last year, we really budgeted purchasing within the 104 department. And it was kind of weird because we budgeted it there, and then we ended up, when we changed budgeting officers, we moved that budgeting officer in under the commission. You know, and I don't care. It makes no difference to me. We can account for it either way. We can set up a totally different department. I wouldn't probably suggest that. But if you guys tell me to, that's what we can do. But I need to know.
Right now it sits under the commission?
It's in 104, probably more. And now the payroll is in the commission.
I'd personally like to see a separate department. That way I can see what we're spending there. Because there seems to be some question of, is it the commission? Because aren't some of the expenses tied into... some of the payrolls in commission, office expenses are in buildings and grounds, right? Is that what we're saying?
Basically, that's what's right, yeah.
So we're kind of dipping from two different departments. Really, we need to consolidate it to one department.
Okay, let me tell you why I don't feel like it's that important to do that. And you okay. may disagree, and you know, we'll do however you want. I feel like that maintenance and purchasing are under the commission.
Correct.
And because of that, I don't see any problem with it coming from two different departments, as long as we know where we're going to code things when they come through there. You guys are responsible for both of those.
My only thing is, when it comes to this time of year and they want to buy something, no, that's my money, no, that's my money. And just to kind of separate, and, I mean, it's not really any extra work for you. It just...
Oh, yeah, it's extra work for me, but that's...
Not earth-shattering.
I don't know, I'm...
Adding headcount, yeah. Extra work. What's your thoughts, guys?
And I can label lines within departments. As,
right.
I mean, in 104, I could have purchasing office expense...
Right.
This other one. I can do that too. So I mean, we can do whatever you want. I need to have a little bit of direction.
I'd like to see it separated. If it's in a separate department or separate line items labeled that way, I'd just like to make sure it's separate buildings or grounds and purchasing completely. It's what I'd like to see.
Well, can't that be done in the same department though?
It can be. Well, I mean, it's the same amount of work though, basically, what we're doing. So it's almost the same amount of work for Rick.
It's about the same.
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot different from one another. So I don't know. I guess I get concerned when I see things developing into things like that, because I feel like I'm Republican wholeheartedly. I feel like we're going to be cutting down anytime we can. If we don't need a department, let's go get it.
Right.
And I'm not sure that we need a purchasing department separate right now. I think we're functioning pretty well. If I divide it out and set it there, then we're going to kind of get that identity, and we'll eventually move to that.
Well, I mean, the only thing is about purchasing. It is one of the few departments statutorily that every elected office has to use. If we force it, they have to use the purchasing based off statute. I mean, that's one of the very few departments the Missouri statutes say if we have a formal purchasing department, every department has to use it. And so that's for our cost control. We could mandate that in the county. We haven't, because it's just slowly evolving.
I don't believe it would be cost efficient for you.
Okay. And I haven't spent the time on that. That's the thing. And she does as much contract review and bid process that she does purchasing. I mean,
and that's what we need her to do.
Right.
She does a good job for us.
I think she does too. I would just like to see the money's.
I'll at least get it into
separate lines. And I'm fine with separate, as long as we know whose money, who is who. I just don't want the, is that my money, is that your money? And
so I'll try to work on that a little bit, and I'll have it at least separated into lines, and if you guys want to do it differently when we get there, we can, because we can take care of that.
All right.
Second thing is grants, guys. Grants is going to be a big thing next year, and I know the Sheriff's Department has three. Donna told me there would be three coming in elections. The emergency management has at least two down here. I asked for a spreadsheet telling me how many they had. I want to, because of what I've done, I went to a seminar, ARRA, and they, they're talking about all this transparency, and I thought, well, they'll have some real good guidelines, and the people from the Fed Department said, well, we don't know how you're going to have to account for it.
Just to let you know, Friday on the agenda, we're discussing grant deposits, because what we've got is, we've got grants all over the county. We've signed off on them, and we're responsible for the administration of them, and we're not sure if they're being administrated properly, and then how do you account for the revenues?
And what I want to do is every grant will have a separate revenue line. Helen and I have talked about this, and we'll try to have a matching an expense line, but that won't happen all the time because some of these grants come in to reimburse for payroll. We had one today come in that was like that. So we won't really have a matching expense line. We'll just have to document that's where that actually
right.
was expended. But I want to have a revenue line for each and every grant. I can't do that unless I know about it.
Well, and that's the part of the Friday's discussion we've got. Where do the copies reside? Who's administrating it? And then because we're ultimately, I mean, this has been an ongoing discussion we've had for multiple times. We're going to have them all in one spot eventually, and it's going to be this year. I know that. We're dealing with it, I think, is probably the best way to say it. At least it's going to be on the agenda Friday.
Third line I got down there, electricity was just a killer this year. I'm man, I was amazed at what we spend electricity. If you look at it, that was a big, big, we underestimated it. It's, and I don't know whether we can change it or not.
I mean,
in this building, we can do some things, I know. The windows out here, I've talked several times, those windows need to be changed. You told me that there was a grant that we could get that done. I think we need to get on that.
Well, we kind of give you an answer. We did the energy studies. Judicial facility, the rule of thumb over there is $4 a square foot per, $4 a foot per month. So our facility is 120,000 square feet. We should budget $448,000 a month in utilities over there. We're below that. Even though it seems extremely high, we're below the national average for judicial facility. Because that after we had we've had multiple people coming through, we finally got to that number. This office, this building's running right at the national average, even though we have the energy problems. Energy grant, Jillian and Joan have been working on the energy grant. There's two grants coming up. We've been talking to our grant writers. We've got a lot of things, actually a lot of things are underway that no one knows yet, because we're trying to get ahead of the grant process that we would, you know, do. There's four approaches: the windows, the lighting, the HVAC, and a new roof for insulation. So those things all will apply based off of the preliminary grant requirements, but they haven't been released yet. The government has not opened the grants yet to even say, "Here's the application."
And I guess can we shut off part of the building down there since we're only using
where down over there? We've met with Johnson Controls, and they've changed the controls of that. They've been notified to shut down that pod to minimums because they whenever they're not, since there's nobody in there.
Fourth thing I've got there, and I will give you more information on this. I will charge each fund. That'd be the GCR, Road and Bridge, Transfer Station, 911, Assessor's Fund. Those people that have payroll, I will charge them out whatever has been spent on the insured fund. The big expense this year in the insured fund, if you remember, we changed from self-insuring on life insurance to buying the life insurance. That's part of it. The other part is Delta Dental is, our dental insurance is expensive. It's costing us a lot of money. And I've asked Vicki to look at that already. I don't know that we're getting any better, and, you know. Right now, we self-insure with Delta, and we pay them an administration fee. And you know, I just told them to check and see if there's any way we can get those costs.
Is there a high participation rate?
You know, I didn't check, but I believe we have a lot of people that are involved.
Seems like it. Delta. But seeing the bill,
and you know that
I haven't looked,
that may be a real good thing because you know if they have good dental health, they're probably going to help their other health issues, so it should help some of those. But I know it's something we need to look at, so we're working at it. Next one, Road and Bridge needs to begin to shave expenses. And Frank and I have talked about this. You know, we don't have a problem, except for if we do this East-West Corridor, even if we get the Tiger Grant and do this East-West Corridor, we got to be looking for monies. And, you know, I think probably we'll carry forward a lot smaller balance than what we've been carrying forward in Road and Bridge, but we will carry forward a good balance. But it's not going to be enough to take care of the East-West Corridor.
There's, when we make a statement like that, Road and Bridge needs to begin to shave expenses. This year, we're operating on an allotted $500,000 for new equipment. Previous years were $1 million, $1.5 million, up to $2 million for equipment. So we are at, depending on which year you want to pick on what was in prior year, we have shaved $1.5 million off in equipment, because this year we're at $500,000. I think we've spent $228,000 of that, so there's still some in there. But to shave off of today's budget with equipment being at $500,000, is it possible? Yeah, we'd have to, Rick and I sit down and go line item by line item, and it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
One of the things that Frank and I talked about, you know, we have still lots of people coming in and saying, hey, we want you to take over our road. And you guys need to consider, okay, yes, we need to take it over. Does money, do we really have the money to take it over? The more roads we have, the more we have to take care of, the more it costs. I think you guys were talking about trading for, you know, taking over some roads for building over there. That's an ongoing expense we don't want. My opinion, you get that for free. But if we're going to, if we continue to take over roads and take over roads, we will have more and more expenses.
We've already started to take that into consideration as you watch the minutes go through as far as taking classifications of roads into Class 6 instead of taking them into snow removal. And
that's the kind of things you'll have to do to help.
Those are the kind of things that we have to do to help shave that cost. Yeah. One thing I was going to address, because Frank, knowing he's been here 2 years, and like I said, the budget before that, but we upgraded, since I've been here, equipment. The first year I was here, we had a lot of trucks that were back in the 90s. The trucks, graders, a lot of things. And then we upgraded from that point, and that's the reason 1 or 2 of those years went from $1 million to $1.5 million. And we added track hole equipment, which used to be if you had one track hole, you had enough for the whole county. Now it's one of the primary pieces of equipment that we need to operate with. And of course, those things aren't cheap, but we ended up, taking those in. And so that's one of the reasons that the expense was so great at one point and now needs to be cut down, is because we did a tremendous amount of upgrade. And we almost doubled the staff. So.
Next.
Okay, raises that occurred after 8-3 are not in here.
Okay.
Can we have a real hiring freeze? I think we need to have one, looking at what we're doing. So you guys need to consider that. And I would like to see you come up with a policy, raises only on January 1 and July 1. That way we don't have to worry about somebody saying, I just got to have this raise or something. And somebody said, well, look, we can consider that come January 1, or we can consider that come July 1. And we can look at that. I would very much like to see it. I think that probably your elected officials would, but you need to visit with them to make sure.
I know that's been something we've been talking about, is the road sharing expense.
That's one place that we can shave. And I'm thinking, unless somebody has a real problem with that, I would think the cities would expect that. We're getting a little bit tight. To me, that's the first place we ought to take. We didn't take on the cities. That was just a kind of a gift they got to begin with.
Right.
I would suggest that myself.
I mean, that's something we've talked about. I mean, how many people have used that? What department is that? Or what is that?
What line is it?
Yeah.
It'd be the 245 to 250, and I'm not sure which one is anything.
I don't think they've participated this year.
We've had, two people participating? Did Forsyth? Yeah, Forsyth, Branson, Hollister have all participated.
And they're probably the people that you really, they were not the ones that you were thinking would need it the worst, I would guess. I don't know.
I think that's out of 9 townships or $450,000.
Yeah, but we allocated 350 or 400. I can't remember. I thought we allocated a little less this year. And
yeah, we had to disincorporate.
But anyway.
That's one place that we could
350. We allocated 350. That's what I thought. We reduced it, and we still didn't. We're only getting 150,000 tapped on. Cell phones, I know we're working on that.
Let me just talk about that just a little bit, though, if I can. Yeah, I still budgeted 350 in road sharing precisions, 250, 50, 051. On the cell phones, I think we've got a plan now that really helps us. And I think I've told you before, $21 for a cell phone that they can use like that. Several of the elected officials come to me and says, hey, look, I'm a little bit concerned about IRS because they say if you use it at all for personal use, you should be paying in on your income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I just kind of went and looked at it. I said, how much do you use it for personal use? And some of them may be 10%, some of them may be 50%. But even if they use it for 50%, considering the minutes that we have and the cost we have, if those elected officials pay $10 a month back, they're paying more than their fair share.
Right.
And then they don't have to worry about the IRS. So some of them are doing that. If we did the same thing with cell phones, the people that have just regular cell phones say, okay, $21. If you use it for personal use, you should pay back $3, $5, something like that. It's a great deal for them. It's a great deal for the county.
Right.
They don't have to worry about the IRS.
I had Lynette, we kind of put that on a list on Lynette, and she's working on that. But, I mean, I think that's one of the modifications we've got. She's got like 26 modifications based off of multiple meetings we've had. That's one of the things that's just going to be she was going to suggest, I think, $10 for Blackberries, and I think it was $5 or $6 for cell phones.
And that really makes sense. I can justify that easily. If someone
because of the IRS requirements, and it is a joint use.
I think we need to look at who needs one, and I think that we ought to require them to use a county phone so that we can see what they're using it for if we want to.
Right. I have a list of all the who we've reimbursed this year. I just haven't spent any time on that. I know it's a pretty long list of who we've reimbursed this year. It's a lot more people than I thought we have.
I think we probably provide cell phones or provide reimbursement for a lot of people.
But
we really don't need.
But the thing is this: this would be honest. It's $21 to have a phone on our plan, and we're reimbursing $26. So if we're going to reimburse, we might as well put them on our plan. And we'd save $5 a month just doing that. So.
Next line down: policy when overnight stays are paid by the county. You know, there's really not a policy. I don't have anything that I can say. No, you can't stay overnight at Branson, because if they've got a meeting over there and they stay overnight over there, why shouldn't they pay for it? Now, I have talked some of them out of it.
Uh huh.
But I would like to say, if they're not more than so many hours away, we don't pay for overnight stay. If I had that, then I can say it, and nobody can say, well, you know, you didn't do that for so and so, and I say, well, you know what? The policy is this. If you don't like it, go talk to Mr. Pimmel or Mr. Strauss.
Overnight hotel stay.
Okay.
Jan, don't do any follow-ups, please. Overnight hotel policy. Okay.
I think you're right.
Carpooling?
That is, we talked about
the vehicle pool. The motor pool.
Motor vehicle pool. And I think we need to look into that. I know it's not going to be a quick process, but I believe we really need to look into that.
When are you going to pave that triangle? I saw your grader over there.
We made contact with the contractor last week, and he said a week to 10 days out, depending on weather.
So, week to 10 days because it's been weather. I think there's substantial enough information that says that we can get rid of 10 vehicles, and we wouldn't even realize it because of the frequency. And you just have a magnetic sign, you slap it on when you want it, and you take it off when you don't, and you check it in, check it out, and it would reduce, you know, obviously, insurance and vehicle costs and all that. But I think there's substantial data that supports that.
I think so, too. That next line, I already talked about the TIF, so I'll just skip that one if you want to. But the last one then, one of the seminars I went to just last week with AGA, Springfield Schools, they had the City of Springfield, they had all the financial directors from about six different entities there. And one of the things that they talked about was sharing the information about the budget with other people. And I guess the thing, you know, we don't really do a good job of that. Hmm. And it may be my fault or not. But I would like to, since we're at the point we are, you know, I would like to ask the elected officials and department heads to meet with me and explain to them that we are looking for $1.6 million more revenue or $1.6 million less expenditures. Can you help me?
If that's the number we're going to come up with, right. But, I mean, there needs to be some sort of cooperative effort here.
And just see if some of them have some ideas.
The treasurer's office, they're about as skinny as they can get over there from expenses. I can't see shaving any more out of their budget.
And there are several departments that way.
Right. I mean, they're just skinny. I mean, it's down to the bare bones. Okay.
So if you guys agree with me that would be a good session, I'd like to just, you know, set up one. I'd like to schedule a meeting. And I will do that here if you want me to. Or I told Don, says, I'll buy everybody breakfast if you want me to.
Wouldn't it be beneficial for everyone, all those department heads, just to be in here and we just have an open discussion and go through it after today, you know, is it next week we go through this again and have everyone come in here and say, what do you think? I mean,
I think it'd be, I mean, I'd love to go through and talk to them about this right here and then just say, hey, look, this is where we're at, you know, and we are going to have to, and I want to explain to them that we can spend everything that you guys have requested, but if we do, we need to find more revenues, or we need to realize that if the economy doesn't turn around, then we're going to have to do some serious cuts come the next year.
Right. I'm not so sure we don't do some serious cuts. Oops.
So, if you guys got any questions you want to ask me, I spend a lot of time looking at the GCR before I really take a lot of time with the other ones. Road and Bridge, I look at some, and sewer right now is pretty healthy. They that board does a real good job, so don't look at them a whole lot. And the other ones are small enough. Well, 911's not small, but they do, you know, their board is pretty conscientious too. The other ones are small enough that I don't worry a whole lot about it.
Well, I mean, 911's a prime example. It's a statewide problem. We have more expenses than we have revenue because less landlines.
I think it's going to get worse. Ours have been pretty well taken care of, but I think that we will begin to feel that more and more. I talk to more and more people daily that's saying, you know, I don't have a landline though.
Well, and the thing is, the state proposed by Griesheimer, I think, is they're going to require, they're going to budget 2 911 centers per first class county. Well, I think we have 3 or 4, I don't remember. And so I thought about having a conversation with all the 911 operators and see if there's a way to consolidate, because right now I believe there are 4 911s in the Taney County.
I don't know. Taney would be the end one. I know we've got our Sheriff's Department, Branson PD, are both 911 centers.
Right.
But I don't know the other ones.
Isn't the ambulance have their own?
I don't believe. They may have their own dispatch, but I don't believe they're 911.
I know there's more than 2, because I was cornered on that recently, so maybe it's 3 then. So if you look at totals, is what we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here, I just did a real simple here of comparing the 2010 request against the 2009 approved. Is that basically what we need to do to see if anybody's asking for more money than they got approved last?
Yep.
Right?
Right.
103 is elections. They're asking for...
Let me explain why that one is that way. Last year...
I was listening. Did you want to maybe clarify that?
How many 911s are there?
How many 911 centers do we have? Well, it's amazing when you have to get on the internet.
I mean, that's a great thing. Everyone's like, they want to know what's going on. They can just leave it in the background. It's like background music.
Well, I just was hearing that you were a little confused. We've got 2 primary PSAPs,
uh-huh,
public service answering points, and we've got 1 secondary. We don't fund the secondary. The secondary is the Taney County Ambulance Department.
Okay, that's what it is.
And, and Branson Police Department and the Sheriff's Department are our 2 primary answering points. And we contract for dispatch with them. We don't pay all their expenses or anything like that. We contract and pay a certain dollar amount per year for them to answer the 911 calls.
Okay.
So, and then you were talking about that multi jurisdictional statute that was going through. They're talking about that, but then they're talking about that statewide there's no way that they could compress it into individual or less,
mm-hmm,
dispatch centers. So they're still talking about that.
I know that they talked about it's going to be a statewide. They're going to create a policy and then go to a statewide vote again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they feel like they...
What needs to happen, and I think Tammy will agree with me, again, this is my opinion, I guess you get...
Free, twice.
Hey, listen, we need to be paying the 911 fee on our cell phones.
Well, and what it goes toward is infrastructure versus
response. Right, and that's the misconception,
right.
Absolutely the misconception, because everybody thinks they're already paying it, and it says on there that for 911 cost recovery. Well, the cost recovery, that goes to the companies, and they don't share that. They don't have to share that. They're not legally liable that they have to share it. The only thing that they have done is they have changed the wording on their bills. Rick and I worked on this, and we fussed and complained so much that I know Altel changed it because we fussed and complained.
It used to have county tax on
it. It said Taney County 911 tax, and so we were saying, but it's not coming to us. And so
I actually called them. I said, yeah. What is this county tax? Well, I don't know. You have to call the county and ask. I says,
I am the county.
That was good.
So we had some random people call in and ask and see what they would answer, and that was their. So they did change their answer, mm-hmm. but they're not legally liable or responsible to give us any of that money. Right. And so,
I know there's 17 counties in the state right now that has no 911 service.
Yes.
Just because there's no funding, and I know that up at is it Platte County, which is outside Kansas City. They fund them $675,000 at a GCR to the 911 in Kansas City. They're negative cash flowing over $500,000, just that one county. Mm-hmm. So it's a disaster if we don't get it fixed.
And we're the only state. We're the only state left that doesn't have funding for cell phones.
Right.
How are we on revenues?
What's our budget there? What's our number?
I don't. Rick's got it in front of him. No. Yeah. Yeah. Have it in front of me.
Is it in the
see yet?
It's a 675, Rick.
You projected revenues $420,000.
675.
35,000 miscellaneous telephone. Total revenues $487,500, which is down. Looks like about 5%, maybe.
So we've still got 2 years.
Hello.
The way that the miscellaneous, you can look at the revenues. The revenues are down on the what's called the LEC, the local exchange carrier, and that would be our ours is CenturyTel, unless they change, merge, and add more people on there or something like that. Currently, it's CenturyTel, and then the CLEX or the miscellaneous telephone fees are what used to be referred to as mom-and-pop organizations. American Fiber Network is one. We get them from Nuvox. We get them from a lot of different ones, but even Magic Jack has started paying us. That's a new cable satellite company that you see commercials for. And anybody that collects 911 surcharges or fees in the state or in the county, in Taney County, has to pay us that voted on amount, which currently we had voted in April of 91, 15%, and it's currently running at 10%. So we could increase it back to 15% without it going to a vote. What they collect is the 10%, then they can keep 2% as an administrative fee for dealing with collecting from all of the companies and all of the customers, and then they remit 8%. And that's true with the LEC and the CLEX. So anybody that collects that amount and collects that surcharge or telephone tax in the state or in Taney County remits 8% to us and keeps 2% as an administrative fee. And then the other income is, could you go up, Rick?
Go up?
No, I can't, but Jim can.
The other income is map sales. We create the map and sell them out of our office. And then the interest income is based on the investments and the CDs and such from that the Treasurer's Office has done. And of course, that's down because of the economy and everything. But the CLEC money you'll see is getting close to where actually what I had estimated it to be. So I'm pretty impressed with that. That's good that that's going up. But of course, the revenues from the LEC or the 911 telephone fees from CenturyTel has gone down because they're losing their customers. So, and that would be true with any major phone company. They're all losing their landline customers, and that's where they're starting the voice over internet protocols and the different types of phone service that they can add on so they can collect that in a different way.
Where do we pay out the, so we're seeing this is our expenditures, mm-hmm. we're projecting, mm-hmm. And this is our income of 487?
Correct.
So we're going to see a negative of 200, right?
Correct.
Which is basically what this is showing. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
If it goes as estimated, well,
the only thing shocking is that we're within a couple thousand of what we were in 08, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it should be significantly lower than that.
Right.
Okay.
We're basically maintaining, and
which is
but we're going
shocking.
Down. We're maintaining, but we're going down little bits and little bits, and
right.
And it will have to be rectified because there will have to be some income or income changes that way.
Right.
Whether it be from the landlines and increase it back to the 15%, or some major change statewide for the cell phones.
All right.
But it's been voted on twice, so the cell phones
right.
failed both times. So, because of lack of education, we feel. Of what it's for.
Right.
So. Anyway. I just wanted to clarify.
Thank
sorry.
You, ma'am. What was it? What were we at next?
George, I'm going to meet you tonight. Can I call you back? Oh, I'll do.
What were we
going to? The elections, the reason that's the way it is, Jim, you weren't here last year when we did this, but last year in elections, we decided that it would be as good. And we did this kind of as a group. Donna will say that she was opposed to it, but I didn't understand that she was, if she was that opposed to it. And it hasn't worked out good. We need to budget revenues and expenses, even though it is true reimbursement.
And that's right. I remember that conversation in the end of December when I was sitting through the meetings. Are we doing that now? We're marrying the expenses and the revenues together now?
So we are right now. They're reimbursing those lines like we budgeted.
Okay.
Still yet. I think probably we won't have any more reimbursements this year unless we get another election. And the problem came when some of those expenses crossed over our fiscal year, and therefore the reimbursement didn't, you know, look like we were reimbursing more than we were expending.
Right.
And so it just doesn't work good to do it that way. So we'll go back to budgeting the way we did before, where we budget all the expenses there rather than that. And if you look at Donna's lines, you'll see that she's done a pretty good job of explaining why those numbers are where they're at. So it would be in 103 at the bottom if you want to look at them.
I guess before we get through the question, is are we doing the special elections in February next year?
Mm-hmm.
That was a normal election anyway for us because of Branson, mayor, and alderman, I think. So that really is not going to cost us any extra money because we were going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I
she will have more expenses this year than she has
last year.
Years. You need to probably gauge it to 4 years ago to really see, and then the expenses go from there. But again, she's
August,
explained that pretty well, so I think you'll see it when you look at it.
Oh, there's four elections next year, too. Okay.
The February election will cost us.
Yeah, because it's April election, I was thinking. Yeah, it's February, April, August, and November
right.
is next year.
So just as you go down through there, you look, and I didn't see any of them that I really just wanted to jump on immediately.
That's a little up. Collector's a little up. But you're nothing.
I want to say that a lot of these numbers don't have any raises included in them, and then some of them did. And that may be some of the reasons that you see differences in there, too.
Okay. So I guess my question is, the first thing we've got to decide as a commission, if I'm missing, is what are we projecting our revenues to be so that we can start picking out where our expenses need to be? If we're going to negative spend or if we're going to, I mean, what is that number?
And how much are you willing to deficit spend?
Right.
Those things, yes. And so we know what we want to shoot for. That's really where
we're going. We need to be at where you're saying, seeing an 8.5% decrease.
And if you guys agree with revenues, I think maybe the first way to look at this would be, and this is what I'll do. I will go through and line by line, I'll look at that. And if I see one that I think is we're not spending what's there or something like that, I'll put a little mark there and I'll get a hold of that elected official, department head, and say, how come this is where it's at? Looks like we're not needing that much. And I'm going to look for bigger items. You know, if you're shaving $200 or $300 off, it's going to help some, but you need to look for bigger ones the first time through, I think.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to talk deficit spending. We talked deficit spending last year. I don't want to do it year, this year, next year something happened. I mean, I would rather look for all the shaving amounts that we can. Then if it turns out that it is deficit spending, that's fine. But I don't even want to talk the word deficit spending until we...
So you're saying everyone needs to shave to 8% decrease.
Everyone needs to cut.
Is that right?
You need to cut it 8% every place, and you are. And most of them, when you asked for 5%, there were a lot of them that went through, and they really focused on that, and that's where they got. And so you're going to have some people. I don't see that being a proper thing myself.
I don't see how we're going to get 8% out of some. Let's pick on some of those. We have some. Large departments. We have Road and Bridge. We've got...
Road and Bridge is not a part of GCR, and we'll affect what we do there.
Right. I mean, we're talking about where? We're talking...
The biggest thing is Sheriff's Department, Sheriff and Jail, okay? And if you look at their budget, I don't think that they were out of line with what they asked for. You might be able to shave another $100,000 out of there.
But that's not 8%.
No. Second would be the prosecutor's office. Prosecutor's office, you may be able to find another $100,000. We're not gonna get to... to zero unless we find more revenues.
But here, you look at this. You start off and you in your road sharing project, $350,000. You cut that.
Then you don't understand. We're looking for things in GCR.
And that's I'm talking about in Road and Bridge, because they're matching fund whatever GCR brings in is going to be matched by our Road and Bridge deficit also.
But I
pretty
guess
well.
if I look at Road and Bridge, I haven't figured expenses on them, but their expenses are not going to exceed their revenues.
What about GCR?
GCR, we're exceeding our expenses are exceeding our revenues.
But
how big a thing?
$1.6 million.
By projections, $1.6 million.
It all ties together, gentlemen. If you let me explain this.
Okay.
When I say Road and Bridge, and we go to talking about raises, we have to consider that raises will be for if we give raises and that we don't give any raises in GCR funding, we're not going to give any in Road and Bridge funding. I mean, it all ties together. We got 200 GCR employees versus 100 Road and Bridge employees.
I agree with you. Right now, I'm not even talking any raises. I'm talking about...
Well, you said that a while ago, though, some of them had 5% on there.
Well, some of them do, but I mean, that's still... We can go back and fix those, and you still won't
okay.
be close.
Okay, then we... Yeah, but I'm just...
Danny, before we go any farther, when we talk about raises, the tone is set from the top down. And I won't say any more because I'd probably make you mad if I did.
Okay.
But expenses-wise, if we go to just not raises, but expense-wise, in your opinion, you don't see the GCR accounts shaving 8 or 9%. It's just there's not there to shave, unless we just say you're going to lose headcount.
Unless we want to lose headcounts.
And we send some people. That's where you see the significant. The only way to hit the 7 or 8 or 9% decrease is either deficit spend or we shave headcount. Because operationally, you're saying what best you can tell, they've shaved where they can shave. Office supplies, the miscellaneous. We took miscellaneous out of everyone, I think, last year.
Yes, we did, Jim. I won't say that we can't shave some, but I don't see us getting to. I would say if you guys said, hey, let's shoot for $500,000 deficit spending, I'd say, you know, that's a good goal. We might make that. If you say, let's shoot for $750,000, I'm pretty sure we can make that.
So the numbers you've got projections right now, does those include raises? Did each department come
there
in and raise?
There are some raises in those. Yeah, if you look through there.
I don't want to right now because right now we're in the big picture. So there's some raises in there.
Yes.
But not very much.
You'll be able to look at those by looking at the
by
payroll thing.
Okay.
Is current to 8.3, and so you can look then if they project.
So let me throw a question out. I mean, I've talked to Hollister. They cut down some, I think they cut some benefits to save, cut costs.
You know, that's, we could say we're not going to have dental anymore, but I don't know that that's a good thing, but we could do that.
Right. But I mean, that's the areas we're talking about is, mm-hmm. is, expenses that those are significant chunks that all of a sudden we start saying we see a way to get to that number.
And you know, if when we talk to all the elected officials and department heads next week, there may be some say, you know what, we need to look at cutting some of the benefits, or we need to look at changing some of the benefits, changing the way we pay for those. So
what's our dental cost us?
$129,000 a year, something like that. Okay. I think is what it amounted to.
Okay.
I think that's total county, not just DCR. That's Road right. Bridge, Transfer Station, Assessor's Office.
I mean, I tell you, 8.5 sounds pretty steep. I mean, I see where you got your numbers. I wanted to throw something out to you. Airport, it's in there.
Uh-huh.
How do they? What did you? What the airport is what? It is
140.
Help me with something. I'm not clear. This year, at the end of the year, you think we're going to have to use $1.5 million out of our balance? Is that what you were saying?
We will be down some this year, and I really believe that the reason we'll be down is because we made some moves and some capital improvements. When we moved the people out of the downstairs and over there, it would cost us. I think it will be down, but I don't think it'd be $1.5 million, especially if you pull out the capital expenditures. They're not operating expenses. And I don't know where we'll be at, Chuck, because it really depends on what happens the last part of this year. If the revenues don't pick back up like they usually do, we may be off that much or more.
Yeah.
But if they pick back up like they usually do in fall of the year and Christmas time of the year, then we should be fairly close taking out those capital.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the revenues didn't add up to near $1.2 million on the airport. You're at $770,000.
Let me look.
I mean, you're doing the fuel sales, leasing.
The grants in there's $500,000.
I did not count the grant.
I think that's the difference right there. So you can look at that, but I think that's the difference.
That's in totals? No, that's in revenues.
It's in revenues.
So they're asking for, the first thing I see glaring is, the fuel expenses are way higher than they projecting next year. I guess where we're tracking right now, we're trending, we're not trending 350,000, are we? I guess we are.
No, that's about two-thirds. So if you divide that by two, be 85 times three, you're about
280?
280. And I don't know if he knows something about what fuel prices or thinks fuel prices going up or thinks he's going to have more people using that or what. You'd have to ask him about that. Those would be good questions to ask him. If you look up there, the big thing in his particular budget is they're planning on redoing the runway next year.
Which is the grant.
Capital improvements, 586,620. No, yeah, 586,620.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And of that, I think 527,000 will be grants. We'll have to have some, there'll be some matching funds that goes with that, but that's a MoDOT grant, and I'm not, I think
the LPA group. Yeah, he's already got it. The LPA group thing. So as long as that income is matched into it, the grant is in his income.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess my concern is, are we right now? They're not trending very well as an airport. I mean, they're break even at best.
Really good for an airport.
I know it is, but we experienced profit years in year ago.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you had projected on that. I have to do the numbers. So.
Jim, when we took over the airport, I called every other first-class county that I knew that had an airport, and every one of them said, oh, you don't want that. Airports are a losing proposition. And so we went into it, and Danny and I talked about this. Danny was concerned as much as I was, I was pleasantly surprised at how well the airport's done. Now, knowing Mark's track record, along with the fact that he spent a lot this year on that capital improvement out there that I think will return.
Right.
I looked at the plan, it looked to me like it's going to return for him real well, and I don't imagine him not filling that up.
Right.
I think you're going to see, he's up here, but he's going to go down because he's got to fill that up and start getting his money back in there, and then I think you'll see him come back to profit level. I'm pleased with how it's been run, considering the information I got beforehand.
So you really haven't seen to see, you haven't compared what his projection expenses are to his projected revenues.
They're pretty close. I looked at them, and they're real close. They were, what'd you say his expenses are? What, million?
Million two.
Million two. Let me just.
Million two, eight, six.
I think they were real, real close. Let me just tell you real quick.
Aren't they going to do their taxiway this year? Well, they were trying to get it done this year.
If we can get the grant. Yeah, it's we're moving as fast as possible, but as soon as the money comes in, we're going to spend it. But I think we're running out. I think it's an asphalt slurry coat or something like that where we're running out of the time frame for that. I mean, the time of year.
He's projected $1,244,322 in revenues.
So just a small decrease.
So it's
I mean, 40,000 loss.
And now we don't know how good a job he's doing projecting revenues or expenses. Probably better on the expense side than the revenue side.
But well, I mean, this number hopefully is expense-wise is matching up with what he is. I get summary documents from him. I'm hoping that matches to that.
I would have to go back and look because I haven't looked recently. A lot of times I really was watching that closely, but I know right now his expenses are going to be a lot more than his revenues.
Right, because we built the building.
Because he built the building.
Yeah.
But he's still on track to pay for that thing by 2012.
I think he will. Yeah,
he'll pay for
it in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll start showing profit off of the hangar after 2012. So and maybe 2012.
He had accrued. I think in his way he was accruing some income, and so I think you guys got all leveled on the accountability on the accounting part of it. So. So I guess the question is, we still haven't resolved. We're going around the question is, what's a realistic number and what are we going to shoot for so we can start building a budget? Because we need to know what we're projecting.
I think his idea is the best. He calls every one of them in here and we go to talking about where you're going to cut.
Let's see what kind of feedback we get and then you can make a decision. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have elected officials, department heads come in here and I'd say, look, this is where we're at. I can kind of go through and give a little presentation to them, show them that, and say, you know, we ideally need to be spending operation expenses no more than what we bring in. And I'll explain to them that it's not that we have to do that, but we need to get as close as we can and see what kind of things they come up with.
Well, I know we had an open head count all year in P&Z, didn't we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think Eddie told me he did budget that back in, but I'm not positive. You know what? If I felt like we were going to have a really busy year next year, I might say, hey, we need to get that filled.
But I'm not ready to take it. I mean, it's almost like you should just take it out of the whole budget because we don't see nothing on the horizon that says there's building boom taking place.
I don't see it happening before late next year.
Okay.
We can hope, can't we?
Well, we could hope it happened early. That'd be a nice thing to
confirm. But anyway, I think that's your best idea is sometime early next week, call a meeting, have everybody come in, at least explain the situation to them, and let them start. I mean, if nothing else, do like we did last year. Say, look, come back with the percentage cost that we decide on to make the cut and go from there.
Well, now, didn't you send back out for them to look at a 5% cut already?
No, that's what I sent out the first time, and a lot of them did that. I mean, you look, if you'll take time to look at this, you'll see some of their notes. I tried to get their notes in there, and some of those that was what they were shooting for, and some of them got right there. Some of them even got below that. I mean,
there's notes in all this.
So we're not wanting to ask for another 8% off of that.
Well, if they can see to do it, yes. I mean, hey, Chuck, if they can see to do it, if you guys, that budget you gave, you didn't give me a budget, just a minute. If your guys' budget could be cut another 8%, we'd try to do it. I don't think you can do it.
Well, there's only way.
Well, I mean,
it's pretty simple, and I hate to say it. I mean, there's a lot of people listening, but it's facts are facts. The only way that you're going to do it, if you don't get them in here and talk, is to start head cutting.
Well, it's head cutting or it's benefits.
And benefits. And nobody likes to hear that, but that is just the way it's going to have to be.
I mean, I don't have a problem in this economic conditions deficit spending by 500,000, that doesn't alarm me because of the balances that we're carrying forward. But to not shave something would be, I think, irresponsible, at least from my perspective, for me, not to say we need $1.6 million, so we're just not going to cut anything. We need to find $1 million.
You look at it about the same way I do.
Yeah, I mean, we have a good balance, and we have a healthy balance, but there's also things that we want to do, or we want to have the flexibility to do next year, that we can't spend all our money now and then have no flexibility and be in. All the other counties are struggling right now. They're cutting. They're out of options.
Oh, yeah. There's people working. People 4 days a week.
Right, and they're cutting benefits.
4 hour days and everything else. I don't want to do that.
You guys, if you could do that for me, that'd be great. If you want to schedule a meeting so that you guys can be here, and as far as I know, I don't have anything that would keep me from being here any day except Friday of next week.
Okay.
If you can't do it next week, as soon as you can, the sooner the better. I would even suggest that if the department head or elected official can't be here, send a representative, if they would.
Right.
You know, so that we can get as many of the department's representatives as possible.
A national trend in government right now is what's called work furloughs, and there's many different ways you can do it. It doesn't really reduce your headcount, but if you take one Friday a month off across the board, that's a significant savings. Some people are doing Thanksgiving week because it has several holidays dispersed in there anyways. They're giving the people, not giving, they're making them take the rest of the week off unpaid. There's several different ways to look at that. It is a reduction in services, but it's also a way where you can keep your headcount steady as it is and yet make a significant reduction in costs by having people voluntarily, not necessarily voluntarily with everyone across the board, but it's just something to look at.
See, those kind of things, if you bring that up in the group, there may be some in the group that say, we need to do that. That's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'd like to hear. Just let people...
Where my son works, they took 2 days off without pay every across the board, and that saved them millions, because they have several. And they took a 3% cut in pay instead of raising.
Well, man, I knew a lot of companies did a 3% to, I mean, I've heard 5% cut for all the department heads and executives.
And it's been there a year and a half and never had a raise and 3% cut.
Wow. But it's better than losing a job. That's the thing. And, you know, I mean, this is not really on the same subject, but is dental more important than the sick leave payout plan? You tell me.
I'd
throw that out there. I bet people say I'd rather get paid for sick leave than I would dental.
Well, I'd like to know that. I'd like to hear that. I'd like to hear it thrown out. That's why I really want to do this.
I can justify it that way, but with the current forecast, I don't want to pay an extra $150,000 out on sick leave.
Don's got those numbers for you.
Yeah, it's probably more than $150,000.
It's not? It's not. Better than what I thought it was.
Oh, wow.
I haven't checked her work yet, though. She's usually pretty good. Usually it's her checking me instead of me checking her.
Well, I guess what we can do is try to get on the agenda. If it's not next week, it'll be the first Monday of the next week. I know we've got a kind of full, but we maybe
know when.
Not Friday of next week, but I know our Monday, Wednesdays are filling up. So,
okay. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for all the bad news.
Yeah.
Sorry, Danny.
Okay, we done for today?
I hope so.
Part of it? Recess. Yeah.
Let's go.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Catch you later.
Oh.